In what ways would someone know you are a Christian if you never told them? Welcome again to The Good Word. I'm Brant Berglund, your host and study guide author, and we're nearing the end of our 13-week series. We're on week 12, looking at three cosmic messages, the three angels of Revelation 14, and we had been looking at the mark of the beast last week, and today we're going to consider the mark that God's people receive called the seal of God. So back to my initial question, Doug and Janice, in what ways would someone know you are a Christian if you never told them out loud? Do you think people could know?
I would hope so, right? You know, the old, they will know we are Christians by our loves. You know, we often think when we're interacting with society, well, there's things that we do and we don't do, and that sets us apart. I think when we look at Christ, though, right, he was called out by the Christians of his day, so to speak, the Pharisees, the believers, for doing some of those things that they had said were verboten. But no one who was there with him would ever have doubted that he was righteous.
Yeah, he was doing the right thing.
So, you know, kind of what you said, Doug, it really was about how Christ lived. You know, he always attracted people, and there was always something very different about him. And so as his followers, that should be the case with us too. People should see there's something very different about us. You know, and really it's God's work in our heart that makes us into different people. He transforms us into his image, and we can be partakers of the divine nature through this process. And then people should see that we're different by the way we speak, by the way that we act, by the way that we live our lives and what's important to us. These should all be different.
Now, I have some really good neighbors that I know are not Christian, but they're good neighbors, right? They would give me the shirt off their back if I needed something. They'd be there to help me. But I know that they are non-believers. And is it possible that there's the same spirit at work in their life that is at work in mine? Could that be? And it's like, yeah, maybe. And yet there are parts of my life that really exemplify my Christianity as well, right? Not just loving my neighbor as myself, but I spend time in scripture, right? I spend time fellowshipping with other Christians. I have given my life to Christ and asked him to lead, and now I'm employed at a Christian university, right, which mm-hmm. requires that we be of a certain faith, right? But when I think about the life transformation, Janice, you mentioned, right, that I can partake in the nature of Christ. He can transform my life. That is not something that someone just looking at me today will fully understand if they hadn't seen me when I was, you know, 20.
But well, this goes back to that, you know, the stories in Daniel where they were forced to either stand up or sit down. We certainly have things that happen in our lives that allow people to see that we are Christian.
Uh-huh.
But we also believe that there's times when the issue is forced.
Right.
Where it comes down to, no, you will do this or this. And there's
special times of testing where we're given an opportunity to prove our mettle.
Yeah.
Yeah. Or our convictions and our commitments. Yeah. We're looking at the seal of God this week, and the conversation about the seal of God takes us back to the book of Revelation chapter 7. And the seal of God in many ways is pictured as given to a select group of people. And in chapter 14, when we see the three angels' messages, right before God sends the angels to give these three angels' messages, it talks about the 144,000 who are sealed, who refuse to receive the mark of the beast. So in essence, the seal of God and the mark of the beast are placed side by side, right? There were no chapter divisions originally in our Bible. Chapter 14 and chapter 13 didn't have a division between them. So the 144,000 are pictured as sealed when the people who worship the beast get his mark, okay? So where is the seal of God given? The mark of the beast could be given in the forehead or the hand, right? I could believe it or I could go along with it even if I didn't believe it. Where's the seal of God given?
Only in the forehead.
Only in the forehead. Why is that significant?
We can't work our way to heaven. We have to believe it from our heart, as if you will, or from our mind. We have to really it really comes down to a relationship with God, a relationship that originates in the mind. You know, a relationship isn't just based on works. It's based on the decisions of the heart and mind.
More you want to add to that, Doug?
No, I think she's right on. You know, there are times we can be coerced to do something we shouldn't. You know, that mark on the hand element. But at some point, you're kind of giving in. But no one can force you to be saved. No one can force you to be the Christian, be sealed by God. That is something that only comes through that relationship and a change.
So one of the ways in which God's people are known, the Sermon on the Mount says, the only place I've ever seen Scripture say, be perfect, that Jesus says, be perfect, and that is in loving your enemies. The beast is giving his mark. If you refuse to worship the image, you could have a death penalty put on you. If you face such a situation, could you love those who are doing that to you, right? Could you love your enemies? Could that be a sign that you had God's love written in your heart, right? We are shown by our faith most clearly when we are tested to the extremes, right? Mm-hmm. So in that sense, you can go through your whole life and look just like your neighbors, but at those moments of crisis, that's when faith truly stands out, right? Can I love my neighbor when they mistreat me just like a normal person? Does everybody love their enemies? Or does that only happen with transformation?
That is a result of transformation. That's just not in the carnal heart. Yeah. That's only what God's love can do. And so if we drink deeply at the fountain of God's love, then we can have that love to give to others.
Yeah, I think our discourse has become louder and more confrontational. You know, in a sermon that we had at one day at the university church, Andreas was talking about how in a recent poll, 20% of people on the left and 20% of the people on the right thought that the people on the other side, the world would be better off if they were just dead, if they would just be killed, that not only that they were evil, but they should just be slaughtered. And, you know, so yeah, with all the vitriol we see, it's hard to look with love at those who disagree with you and really wish for their best outcome, to really want the best for them.
For their good, yeah. When we think about the seal of God then, this idea of having the heart and mind change, this is really the new covenant, right? Jeremiah 31, and it's quoted in the book of Hebrews chapter 8 and following, a few chapters there, talks about the new covenant, that God says, I will write my laws on your hearts and on your minds, right? I will put my law there where you will do by nature those things. Is it possible that the seal of God then, written on the foreheads of God's people, right, is this idea that his law, not just the letter of the law, well, do this and don't do that, but actually the loving character of the law becomes something that I do by nature. Mm-hmm. Could that be the case? Could I get to the place where God can so write his law there that the Holy Spirit can just help me live like Jesus every day, right? I hear people say all the time, oh, I'll never be perfect. I'll never be perfect. It seems to me that when I use that language, though, if I use it in the context of the Sermon on the Mount, loving my enemies, when you say that, that means you're limiting the power of God. It has nothing to do with you and me. It has everything to do with a statement about God's power and his character. If you say, well, I'll never be perfect, well, that's telling me you don't believe God is able. That's a lack of faith, in my view. That's not about, oh, I'm defending you know, myself from all my bad behavior in the future. This is limiting the power and character of God. So the seal of God, if I do an Old Testament study and I looked at Exodus 13, 8 to 16, if I look at Exodus 28, 36 to 38, Deuteronomy 6, 1 to 9, Isaiah 8, 16, all through these passages, I see that God wanted to write his law on the hearts and minds of his people, right? That, and he even says in Isaiah, seal up the law among my people. The law was to be sealed like a seal, like wax with the imprint, right? And the seal, if we go to the Old Testament law of God and we say, hey, the seal, we have a presidential seal. And have you guys ever seen John McVeigh's presidential seal on any notifications? You might see it, but we don't read it. We see the imprint in the paper. Hey, here's the presidential seal with the picture of Walla Walla University. And it says around the outside, John McVeigh, president of Walla Walla University. It has his name, it has his title, and it has the place that he presides over, right? The presidential seal of the United States has the same seal. Ancient seals in the Old Testament, suzerain and vassal treaty seals, had the same thing. It would bear the name, it would have the title and the territory. And it's so interesting that in the heart of God's law, the Sabbath command, we again see the presidential seal, Yahweh, creator of heaven and earth, right? The law, the whole law sealed up among God's people with the Sabbath at the center. Do you suppose the seal of God and the commandments of God is pictured as being only in the forehead then as something that he does for us, that he writes it there? Is it something I can just say, well, I just better go out and obey and just start doing it? Or is that going to get the job done?
Well, you know, we're told in the spirit of prophecy that we can get to the point where our impulses are the same as the Spirit's. Like, he's just living out through us. Like, our impulses are his. And really, that's because he has written his law in our hearts and mind. And we can be like Jesus. When he was tempted, he said, it is written every time, because he had the word stored in his heart and mind. And I think that's so valuable.
Thy law have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against you.
Right.
David's experience. Mm-hmm. So just thinking quickly, we only have a couple minutes left, but when you think about the 144,000, have you understood that number to be literal or figurative? A symbol? Or there will only be 144,000 people at the end of time who are saved, or throughout time or something?
I believe it's figurative. And here, 12 is a sign of completeness. So, you know, the 12 tribes of Israel and 12 times that. But I think another example that we would have in the Bible is that how many times should you forgive your neighbor? The 70 times 7.
Oh.
Do you think that I should be keeping a list of you know, those 490 times? And then when, on that 491st time, okay, buddy, now you're going to get it.
Now, finally, I no longer have to forgive my neighbor.
No. This is... The Bible uses certain numbers, sevens and twelves are the main ones we see that have symbology beyond just an actual figure.
Uh-huh.
Well, you know, we have counsel not to really debate over this number, so I don't think it's that important that we, you know, understand what God meant here exactly, just that we understand that this is God's final faithful people. These are the people that really are defying Satan's claim that God's people cannot keep his law through his grace.
Yeah, and who makes up this people? Their characteristics are described throughout chapter 7. They follow the Lamb wherever he goes. They're victorious. And it's interesting, people following a lamb, usually sheep follow a shepherd, and now we have people following a lamb, right? This switch of imagery. But it is noteworthy throughout the book of Revelation that John often sees one thing, and then he hears one thing, then he turns and he sees something else, and it says that he hears the number that's sealed. And the challenge that we have here is there are 12,000 from each of the tribes of Israel, and it's like if we talk about the number being literal, well, that means they're also probably literal Jews. From literal 12 tribes, it means that they're, you know, ethnic Jews. But the New Testament perspective of Christianity is a little different, and it is, if you are a believer in the Messiah, then you are a Jew, right? I am part of Israel the moment I believe in Jesus. Paul says in Romans chapter 2 that if you are Christ, right, then you're Abraham's seed and part of the covenant, right? A Jew is not one who is one outwardly, that is circumcised in the flesh. A Jew is one who is one inwardly, circumcised in the heart, which goes along with the sealing process, right? Yes. Mm-hmm. That's what makes a person a true Israelite. We're not talking about the church replacing Israel. We're talking about what Israel was intended to be all along. That is a group of people through belief in God, trust in the Lamb, that God would forgive and he'd change your hearts and minds, right? Then that's the beauty of the seal of God. Can I have the seal of God today? I believe I can.
Mm-hmm.
And the Holy Spirit is the active agent. When I look at the New Testament, all through the New Testament, 2 Corinthians 1, 21-22, Ephesians 1:13, Ephesians 4:30, it's the Holy Spirit who seals us, right? Does it. Our time is up. I can't believe it's gone already. But thank you again, Janice and Doug, for being my conversation partners. Thank you, Samuel Hoffman, for helping us with sound engineering, to Rick Basket for putting all of our programs together. And thank you for listening in. For The Good Word, I'm Brant Berglund.
You've been listening to Good Word, a production of the School of Theology at Walla Walla University and KGTS-FM. To order a copy of today's broadcast, you can call 509-527-2194. Thanks for listening, and we'll be here next week at this time with Good Word.